You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk about the financial state of the Wisconsin farm after the recession. First, we continue our summer music series set list. We invited artists from all over the Midwest into the WPR studios for interviews and exclusive musical performances, which air every Friday at this time until Labor Day weekend. Today, we feature the Madison band Neens. They recently stopped by the WPR studio to play some music and reveal why their latest music video is a remake of the final scene of the 80s movie Pretty in Pink. Neens. Yeah?
Neens.
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 Yeah.
Kyle Braden, thank you so much for coming into Wisconsin Public Radio and playing in our studios today.
Oh, thanks so much for
having
us. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
I want to start with the way you describe your band. So on your Facebook page, you describe yourself as dream goth pop.
Yeah.
Can you get it? Can you break that down for us? What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're just playing our songs, you know. I take the goth thing because I feel like I write from a little bit darker place. Experimental because I got this weird setup thing and I'm looping, and then, you know, I like to put big catchy hooks, so that's the pop and the experimental pop. Can you do that sound again for us?
So as long as we're playing the sound. While you were playing for us, you were using something called the Executive Stress Eliminator. It's apparently a vintage piece of, initially stress elimination equipment, but now you guys are purposing it for the sake of music. Tell us what it is and how you started using it.
Well, it was left at Kyle's house, and then I just started toying around with it, and I like ambient sounds. And it started relieving my stress, and so when I was playing these stressful songs, I just started playing this thing, and then it just
wow.
And Neens, the name means uses and abuses technology, and so it kind of went hand in hand.
Nice, yeah. So I looked up Neen to see if there was actually a thing, and it is. Urban Dictionary says pretty much what you say about the word Neen: art that abuses technology to create unexpected artistic results.
Yes.
Does that sound like you guys?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and the fourth definition, I was going to ask if that was also a play, which is apparently a person with unpleasant long hair.
So oh, that makes
I'm
sense
guessing
too,
that's
yeah.
not it either.
Well, Braden had uncomfortably long hair, but he just recently got a haircut. But there's another meaning that says something about a girl who likes to eat cabbage and likes old people, and when asked to choose between cabbage and old people, she can't decide.
Okay, so officially we're going to go with the first definition here.
Yep.
Let's all decide on this.
I do like cabbage, though. Yeah, we'll go with the first one.
Let's go with the first one. Each of you bring to the band?
I would like to say I bring mysteriousnisms.
And, that's not a word.
mysteriousnisms for me, Braden.
Well, Braden, you play guitar. You bring that, electronics,
yeah.
too.
I play guitar and synth. I don't know. I think I've kind of taken the role of like the tech guy that
Definitely.
Is always trying to, you know, kind of keep us all in line. It's a lot of equipment, too.
He made me buy a new guitar.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yep.
And Kyle, what do you bring to the band?
Bass.
I handle most of the low end, yeah.
So how do you put all those pieces together? How do you write your songs?
Well, the songs that we were playing for you guys, I wrote them kind of on a loop pedal because I was doing the one-man band thing. And these guys are talented enough to keep up with me and like to fill out that space and to follow the loops because they're not always perfect. I do everything live, so there's a lot of room for air all the time, and it's always like a big bubble in your stomach when we play because I can mess up at any time. These guys got a good ear, so they catch me and
I'm curious about that because you are you're looping, you're putting it together on the fly, and that's the foundation of the song that you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to see Andrew Bird. I know he does a lot of that looping stuff too, and I've always wondered, how do you learn how to do that? It doesn't seem like it's something you would come across in your everyday course of life. Where did you pick it up?
I don't know. I never was that good at a certain instrument, and I always liked to write songs, and I was pretty much alone in Arizona. I felt alone, and so I was just trying to come up with how can I be my own band, and the loop pedal is what did it. And I like to write off like a simple beat, so Minimalism is what, you know, I kind of strive for.
Have you ever just completely blown it when you've gone on stage, live show, people are there, and you just kind of mess up your loop?
Never. Yeah, I mean, I've blown it, but I think if you see what I'm doing, you can't really, I can't really take, you know, I'm going to mess up, and people should appreciate that I'm doing something raw. You know, I'm not just hitting a button and I have this whole backing track. I'm playing it live, and you mess up. I mean, that's life. You gotta roll with the punches sometimes.
Did any of you have formal music training, or did you pick it up yourselves?
I was self-taught since about 8 years old. My dad bought me my first guitar. Just kind of learned playing by ear and then just went from there.
Yeah, my dad was a musician, and he never really encouraged being a musician. but I picked it up anyway, and I started playing guitar when I was like, I don't know, 12 or something. And then I moved to the drums and focused solely on that forever. But yeah, everything's self-taught. I mean, I have no clue what I'm doing.
I was a jock. I didn't start playing later, but my stepmom, she taught piano, so I always had to be quiet in my house, and I always wanted to play the drums, and I was like just always constantly moving when I was a kid, so I never got drums, but I got a set of congas, and then I started banging around those in the garage, and that kind of got me inspired to start writing from rhythms and stuff. And my dad plays harmonica, and he played blues growing up like that, so I was around music that, you know, really got me into it. I tried guitar lessons, but they would get too frustrated with me. I saw you out.
Control booth while you were playing, and there are moments of it that sounded a little bit like 80s music, maybe Europop influences. Do you hear any of that in your music?
Definitely. I can list a lot of 80s bands that I love and freaked out. Like, I love The Cure and Joy Division, and I take influence from the 80s music and just the style and fashion. It's the 2000s, and for some reason when I look back at 80s stuff, it seems more futuristic than what's going on now. So it definitely, I take influence from 80s stuff. We just did a video, and we redid the end scene of Pretty in Pink to go with that little 80s
classic
theme.
This is the iconic John Hughes movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
How did you twist it? What did you do to make it your own?
Bad acting was definitely made it our own. We made it our own by getting everyone together. I can't believe we actually did it. It was a little bit more, you know, had to get like 60 extras. And it started because I would play my songs with old 80s, kind of just overdubbing, just watching videos to the music to see if it kind of fits. And then we kind of just took that concept and basically redid that.
Were you a fan of the movie?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like one of my favorite movies, but it relates. Mm. It relates a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we made it our own in a way, and that it's just kind of cool seeing our community, you know, our kind of east side of Madison community. Everybody's there pretty much that we know, and everybody's involved. And
like a family feel.
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody came together for it, so it was nice.
Yeah, every person kind of fit their character, which was hilarious to see, because you're like, oh, there's Ducky.
But you guys didn't play the Ducky and the Molly Ringwald character.
I don't know. We kind of made up our own names, but, you know, I played the sad lover boy thing, and then we just had friends around the you know, community pick up different roles that we thought would fit.
So what do you guys do when you're not making music? What are your you know, day jobs like?
I teach art, like second to high school. So art's a big part of my life, you know, visual, and I just try to keep myself surrounded by people involved in art and hang out with kids to keep my youth still alive.
Does that influence the band too, your work with kids and your work with art?
Being immature, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I think a lot of Shane's art also ties into what we do musically as well, so kind of goes hand in hand. Well, we have some themes that we've been doing as far as like we had two videos that were just released, and the second of which, working on a scheme, incorporates a lot of Shane's artwork, his Big Head series that he's done. It seems like at times the songwriting and the art that Shane comes up with kind of feeds off of each other almost.
It's hard to divide like my work life and art. It's just like I'm a maker, you know, I make things and create. I want to be creative and kind of live that sort of life, so.
And if we saw some of your art, would we look at it and go, oh, that's kind of dream goth pop art?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
You got the video out there. What's on the horizon?
Just write new songs. I really want to do a full length, and it's really hard working, you know, 45, 50 hours a week and then, you know, cramming in art. It'd be nice to write a full length in a nice proper studio. We did this EP pretty much in friends' basements, and you know, it was all DIY stuff. It would be nice to really do something polished and really thought about and have percussion in it and real piano and really experiment with textures and things I imagine I want to be able to do, you know, in a proper setting and feel comfortable doing it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
That was the Madison Band Means. You can catch them July 15th in Madison at the Live on King Street concert series. Setlist Summer Music Series airs every Friday at this time through Labor Day weekend. Support for Setlist comes from Hyde Music. For more about the artists featured on Setlist, including songs and videos of their exclusive performances at our WPR studio, head over to wpr.org/setlist. Coming up, Wisconsin farmers are still struggling to repay debts after the recession. We'll learn more in just a minute. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We'll take a trip, take a trip.